B-Pod Studios.
By the way, Hattie, I like
he's the calming voice of the Midday Show.
You're siding with PK. Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
As much as Brady has said, even I think it was on the Howard Stern Show, I was done in August. I don't think he completely went through the motions after the 2019 season leading into 2020. He heard the Patriots out. He had conversations with Bill Belichick, but Belichick and the conversations that they had prior to Brady becoming a free agent in mid-March said, yeah, we can't do more than $22 million against the cap for you. Well, no, you're not going to get your 2 years and 50, which is exactly, ironically, exactly what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers gave him. Purpose pitch. So whether Brady was beaten down so much that he became unfaithful or whether he should have stuck to his marriage vows, we can have different views on it, but there is no way to say that that looks good for him.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and Phil Perrien today on a Finish Strong Friday, presented by 128 Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. If you're a licensed electrician who wants to work with the top HVAC and plumbing professionals while learning the HVAC side of electrical, 128 wants you. Visit their careers page now at call128.com. Just heard Tommy Curran there with a kind of a recap of how things ended for Tom Brady and how he ended up where he did. Now, thanks to Brian Flores, who raised his hand after it's just amazing how the Patriots are tangentially, if that's the correct word.
Tangentially.
Tangentially. Thank you.
Is that right?
T-A-G-E-N-T-I-A-L-L-Y.
I'm not sure. I just heard that word come out of my mouth, and I said, that doesn't sound right.
Okay.
Somebody will let us know.
How about this? The Patriots are involved on this, on the perimeter, right? Whether it's Flores coming through because he got a text from Bill saying, hey, congrats.
Right.
And so I haven't interviewed yet. Uh-oh. Okay.
Whoops.
That was unfortunate. So Bill's kind of involved there. Now, and this is the weird part, too. The NFL starts digging into... wait a second. Brian Flores said that, you know, he was asked to tank games, or it was suggested that maybe he lose some games. And in the midst of all this, they also find out that they're tampering with Tom Brady. So I don't know if it was two separate investigations or if they just found like everything kind of at once when they start poking around. But the result is loss of draft picks and fines and sanctions against front office guys who are not allowed around the team or at league meetings, not necessarily for the tanking of games, which they say, oh yeah, it was discussed, but we don't have any evidence that they actually lost on purpose. But you did talk to Tom Brady before you were supposed to, and consistently throughout his time, not only in New England, but his first year or two in Tampa. So we're going to ding you for that. Have I recapped everything?
I think that was a very
there?
Good recap. The part that I find, and I know we're going to talk about Brady, it is just comical to me to see this report come out the other day. And that's, you're right. The primary, I believe, impetus for the investigation was this tanking question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And not only did the Dolphins tank, but I think almost more importantly, don't get me wrong, if they were actually tanking, that's a huge story. But I think more realistically, because we know Brian Flores was winning games at the end of that 2019 season. They beat the Patriots in the season finale and were celebrating running off the field here because they were so thrilled that they were able to finish on a high note. So they weren't, it was pretty obvious if you watched them, they weren't tanking games. But was the owner asking the head coach to tank games, and not just asking him to, but actually offering him money to tank games, which is what Flores alleged? And did you see what the league's investigation yielded as far as that goes? Well, he talked about it, but people couldn't really quite remember the context of it. And even if he did say it, it wasn't meant to be taken seriously anyway.
Well,
boom, period, new paragraph, end of story, nothing to see here, which I think is garbage.
Well, not only that,
because owners don't joke around about that stuff.
Okay, not only do they not joke around, but in the same breath, they say nothing to say here. but look at this, Tom Brady.
Right.
Does that get your attention? We're going to talk about Tom Brady instead.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. Why do you think the league would rather the attention be on the tampering charge as opposed to the almost tanking or the owner who's dying to tank games so that they can get a better draft pick?
Well, obviously, that is the one thing in sports. And, you know, right or wrong, that is across the board. The one thing we've decided you can't do, you can be an awful human being. You can get, you know, shot after shot at teams with this league, almost regardless of what you do. However, if there's any indication that the game is not on the level, that's it. We're all done, right? Because that blows everything up. If the game's not on the level, then people aren't going to watch. That's the one thing that will get people to stop watching. You know, you'll bring in the WWE crowd who are probably watching anyway, but that's it. You know, the baseball, basketball, football, whatever. And that's why those stories are so big. And with sports gambling being what it is now,
huge.
And the league's partnership with a lot of these gambling entities, there cannot be any type of reason to believe that teams are going out there purposely trying to lose games. I'm not talking about the last game of the season where you sit your starters and it's not going to affect your seeding in the playoffs. I'm talking about week 12, week 13, week 14. If those games aren't on the level, then the NFL or any league would have a huge problem, and they can't allow anyone to believe that is the case.
It's part of the reason why I think, even though it's not in writing right now, but this is just in my own brain, my theory is the reason why the penalty was as strict as it was in terms of first-round draft pick as a real... I know the Patriots got docked a pick for Deflategate, but that's, again, that's sort of on the field. That my initial reaction to this punishment, this Dolphins punishment, was for tampering, that seems strong. Doesn't it seem like that feels like a competitive balance kind of punishment?
Well,
over $1 million in fines. Owner suspended for a while. Two picks, first and third, I believe is what it was, next year.
Yeah.
That feels heavy-handed for a few phone calls to Tom Brady or a bunch of text messages to Tom Brady, if that's what it was.
Again, as crazy as the punishment was for deflating footballs, you can make a case that gave Tom Brady a competitive advantage in games. Where's the competitive advantage in talking to Tom Brady before his time is up in New England or in Tampa? I mean, was there any indication that Tom Brady had packed it in and wasn't interested in winning in either place?
Well, that, I guess, is in theory the issue. If you're tampering enough with a player who's already on another team, he's not all in for those games. Therefore, the product on the field is suffering because he's already gone.
Right.
Now, and that's why I look at Brady during this whole thing, and I understand why this goes on. I'm not naive. He's pissed at the Patriots because they don't give him the contract that he wants. He knows there's a very good chance that he's gone very soon. And so he starts talking to his buddy in Miami that he's close with, who happens to help run the Miami Dolphins. I get that. I get why he would do it. I get why he's upset. He obviously was well within his rights to want a new contract. He clearly could still play. I still look at the Brady piece of that, and I say, not to sound like a kindergarten teacher here, Hardy, two wrongs don't make a right to me. They don't. So I understand that you're pissed. I still don't expect you to be calling other places and talking about joining a division rival while you are in the middle of a Super Bowl title defense.
Right.
Your team is just coming off the Super Bowl. And your team is not bad. They weren't as good as we all thought they were by the end of the season. We all found that out very quickly. But they're 8-0 to start that year. And he's pissed off all year, and he's trying to work his way out of town all year. It doesn't, to me, impact his long-term legacy, but I do go back and I look at that year and I say, not that he wasn't trying to win those games, but at the same time, you can't be 100% invested if that stuff is going on behind the scenes.
Okay.
You can't be.
I do not agree with you on that last point.
You think he's 100% all in trying to win football games for the Patriots and texting the Dolphins about joining the Dolphins?
Yes.
At the same time?
Yes. I think there were times when he was 100% all in with the Patriots with no reason to feel or think otherwise, where at the end of games, you just saw him not necessarily trying all that hard anymore because he got frustrated.
I don't even talk about that. I'm just talking subconsciously. I just think there's some, if any part of your essence is thinking about leaving and you're playing a team sport, you can't be all the way in. I'm not even saying I saw him, you know, that pick that he threw to end the season to Logan Ryan. He wasn't trying because he was looking at the Dolphins. No, I don't think that. I think he felt like he was giving it his all. I just don't think it is possible to be fully 100% in when this other stuff is going on.
Okay. We'll talk more about that. The legacy issue is something that is just, you know, riled people up. And I think it's nuanced, you know, the question when it comes to that. So we'll get into that a little
couple
bit more.
Couple nuanced guys right here.
Yes, very, very delicate, you know, deep thinkers.
We can handle this.
Emotional, nuanced.
We've got this.
All that. And we'll talk with both Chris in Worcester and Cal, who's in New Mexico, the land of enchantment. Taking your calls at 617-779-0985 here on Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated.
Aphareus is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right. Phil lit it up. I think we caught that on the air.
Good.
High level.
Leave the people wondering what we were talking about.
High level. So I took that blunt. I took that blunt from Mike Reese.
I said, leave the people.
And I lit it up.
Wasn't expecting you to fill in all the gaps there, Hardy. But
Reese is passing out Lucy's down there at training camp.
What do you think happens on the hill at training camp? Yeah, we got 3 hours there in the sun just hanging out.
And smoking marijuana pot dope. Like, you know, that's how you get your good football ideas.
Helps with the creative process.
Why not? Let's go to the phones here. We'll talk to Chris in Worcester. You're up first.
Pot dope? Did you say that?
Marijuana pot dope.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Chris, what's going on?
First of all, I laughed hysterically when you said nuance. As far as I know, sports radio is not the place for nuance.
There's really no in-between, yeah.
I feel like there's two types of fans in the world, right? There's fans and there's fanatics, right? Fans understand that these are like real people who sometimes think of this as a career and are seeking other opportunities, and there's pay involved in negotiations and salaries and contracts, and that's why athletes have agents, right? And then there's fanatics. We call them footy pajama people. We call them green teamers, whatever. Pick your sport, pick your team. But these are the people who assume that if you play for my laundry color, you must be married to my team, to my city, to my happiness on a Sunday afternoon. And if I'm not happy on a Sunday afternoon, it's all your fault. And that's why, like, that analogy, right, that you used in the last clip of going behind your marriage vows is fanatic talk, not fan talk, right? That's wild that he can't have a conversation about his career as a human looking out for salaries and contracts. He is required to be married to New England, to Bill Belichick, even though, if we stick with the analogy, Bill was treating him like crap. Bill was gaslighting him, whatever analogy you want to use. So that's
okay, but Chris, you understand there is a legal binding employment contract, and even though it happens all the time and it happens around the league, you're not allowed to have those discussions. You cannot participate, or your agent with talking to other teams, and then your agent bring that to you, talking about your next move, possible ownership deals, player coach, all this stuff while you're under contract with another team. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I'm saying with the case of Tom Brady, it's kind of like Deflategate. Yes, there's a lot of quarterbacks that, you know, monkey around with the footballs, which I said from the beginning. I said it again this week. I said it years ago. I'll say it now. If you don't want them, you know, guys messing with the footballs, don't let them mess with the footballs. Don't let them drag around the parking lot and do all this stuff. Take the ball out there and put them in front of them on game day and say, that's the ball you're using. Don't touch it before, during, or after, you know, you're on the field. But they do. There's this stuff. The thing with Brady with the Patriots, all right, and the thing now with the discussions with Miami while he's with New England, he seems to take everything a couple steps further than most other guys. You know, it's not just a, hey, you know, might want to be looking at South Florida, just saying, where guys will have conversations with their agents. They're having actual talks. They're talking about, you know, having an interest in the team, talking about being a player coach. And it's part of what makes Brady great. He does everything to a greater extent than most other players. He does everything, you know, whether it's his fitness, whether it's his TB12, whether it's playing quarterback, he does it, man. He is an all-or-nothing guy, nothing in moderation. Love that about him. But that also comes to monkeying around with footballs and having conversations about your next move. I'm not saying it's egregious or worthy of a penalty and they shouldn't go after Brady in this, but don't tell me it's nothing. Don't tell me that he should be allowed to. You're not. You're not allowed to do that.
Right. Right. And that's why that 100 miles an hour all the time kind of approach that you're talking about, that's why I think something like this would prevent him from being that way on the field for that season. You know what I mean? We're used to seeing Tom Brady, the competitor, wants to rip your face off every time he's on the field. Was he that in 2019?
You don't think he can separate the two? I mean, look.
He may feel as though he has compartmentalized. No human being can do that, I don't think.
He's a Zen master, Phil.
No,
or at least he would have us believe that.
No, he's not.
He's in the moment, man. It's like, this is next level Scientology, you know, stuff that he's into. In the moment, whatever you're doing at that moment is the most important thing in your life. And for Tom, when he was on the field with the Patriots,
texting the Dolphins.
No, he wasn't texting in the middle of a play. He was still trying to win those games. He was still out there.
I'm sure he believes that. I'm sure he does. Tampering violations of unprecedented, easy for me to say, scope and severity was how they described the tampering. So who knows? We don't have the details on how many calls was, how many texts or emails, how many dinners with Dolphins ownership.
Tampa Bay Times did a breakdown that was severely lacking in details and numbers and all that stuff. But in terms of his legacy, does this affect Tom Brady's legacy?
No,
he's going down as the greatest quarterback of all time because he is, and that he's won more than anybody else and blah, 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 blah. Where I think people got their feathers ruffled, and I heard Felger Maz talking a little bit about this. I don't know if they heard everything I said. I didn't hear everything they said, but they seem to be like, oh, get off it. It's not going to affect it. It's part of the story. It's the story of Tom Brady just gets longer and longer, you know, and it's going on for longer, but it is, yes, a part of the story. I don't think it affects his legacy, and I don't think, you know, there's anything that really is worthy of further scrutiny, at least on his end. But to tell me that it doesn't matter and it's not a part of it, it does matter. And all I ask for in these discussions about him is some degree of consistency. You know, if you are going to go after him for Deflategate and say, absolutely, he did this wrong, he did that wrong, he did that wrong, and throw the book at him. But now that he's out of town and it seems, you know, cool to, like, you know, defend him and prop him up because they did him dirty here and say he did nothing wrong. No. You have to be able to acknowledge the wrongdoing regardless of where he is and regardless of how you're going to look when you say it and how Patriots fans are going to feel about it. And I say in both cases, yeah, he went over the line. I think the punishment for Deflategate was ridiculous, but I think it happened, and I think he handled it poorly. And I think in this instance, he doesn't deserve any repercussions from it. But yeah, it sounds like it probably went a little bit over the line from what most players do when it comes to tampering. And by the way, most players aren't tampered with to the extent that Tom Brady is, because they're not Tom Brady.
Right.
So he is in a unique position to be tampered with to a greater extent than most players ever will be.
And he was a star quarterback about to hit the market. So not only is he Tom Brady, but he's at this position where great players generally don't become available. So you understand why the tampering would happen.
Isn't
it would happen as early as it did in the summer. It sounds like the summer of 19.
Isn't that crazy, though? Like, that used to be the thing. Like, franchise quarterbacks, star quarterbacks, guys who can still play, they don't leave their teams. You know, that it just doesn't happen. And if it does in the aftermath and with, some history behind you and the benefit of hindsight, you can say, oh, they actually saw that he had kind of, you know, tailed off and he didn't have it anymore.
Right.
That's not the case anymore.
No.
Guys leave. Guys can be, and it, you know, we've seen it around the league now. Tom Brady is the best example of it. But you see guys leaving their teams and going elsewhere. Holy cow. It never used to happen in the NFL, or it happened so infrequently you could say, the quarterback doesn't leave. The starter doesn't leave. Oh, yeah, they do.
It's a player empowerment thing, right? And I think it started probably in the NBA. Where player movement happens all the time because they want it to happen.
Right.
Brady looks at that and says, I'm not happy here. Why do I have to be here?
And I'm not talking about Matthew Stafford in a trade with the Lions and the Rams. I'm talking about Tom Brady and Russell Wilson.
Guys
who can play, Deshaun Watson. Okay, there's some other things that play, in play there, but most people think he is, going to set foot on the field practically day one and be a top five guy. And he's on a different team. It's craziness. It's a lot more fun if your team sucks right now. Think about it. Well, you know what? You might have a top quarterback on your team sooner than you think.
Well, but that's why when it comes to Brady, that's why the tampering happens. That's why it happens to the extent that it happens. That's why it happens on the timeline that it happens. I just look at it, and legacy is a funny thing, right? Because I think everyone, a player's legacy is defined by whoever is looking at that player, right, and how they feel personally about him. Of course, he'll have obituaries and Hall of Fame speech, and, there will be a general consensus, but how I view his legacy might be different than how you view it. And I do think there are people, I think we agree on this particular topic, but I do think there are Patriots fans who look at this and probably were Team Tom the whole way through, right? Patriots did him dirty. They should have tried harder to keep him around. Pissed at Bill, pissed at Kraft, however you looked at that. And then they hear this story and they say, I still love Tom, and I know he was pissed in that 2019 season. I understand why. He should be. But did he have to be playing footsie with a division rival the entire season? That sucks. That's the team we lost to at the end of the year. That game, I'm not saying he tanked it, but we did lose to the Dolphins at the end of the year, and we lost a bye week because of it, and then we lost in the first round.
Were you still suffering under the impression that Tom Brady was, somehow still really in his heart of hearts a New England Patriot, and that he actually liked being here? Are you still suffering under that delusion?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because
people close to Tom tell me the middle of that season that it was all but over.
I think middle of his career he decided he didn't really like it here. It was so funny.
I think people would look at that, though, and say, I thought we were getting the full Tom. Even though it was his last year, and even though he was pissed, I still thought we were getting the full Tom in 2019, and this story indicates to me that we were not.
I think you still got the full Tom. I think you still got him, and whatever he was thinking about off the field did not distract him on the field.
Because he's a Zen master.
No, well, yeah, you know what? He's not.
That's plausible.
He's not always Zen. He did get pissed off.
He's the opposite of a Zen master.
He did get pissed
off. He's a lunatic.
Do we know now? Competitively speaking. Yes. Can we now put to bed that we know who he was talking about during that barbershop show when they were sitting in the barber chairs and he was talking about the team? Milliken, I think we have the
sound.
That
mother bleeper?
Yeah, of when they were talking about who they're going to go and who he was going to end up going with. Do we have that ready to go?
Got it right here.
All right, let's listen to it.
There was a story in free agency. One of the teams, they were interested, and all of a sudden they weren't interested at the very end. I was sitting there thinking, you're sticking with that mother
Are you serious?
Tom probably had no desire to go to that team, but now it's like, why don't you want me?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Yeah, when sure. I look back, I'm like, I just don't f***ing way I would have went to that team. But they said they didn't want me, and I know what that means. I know what that feels like, and I'm going to f*** you up because of that.
I actually do think we know who it was.
And it was?
Ryan Tannehill of the Tennessee Titans. That last line at the end. He said, there was no way I was going to that team. He would have still he would have gone to the Dolphins. He tampered with the Dolphins for like 3 years. He was dying to go to the Dolphins. That, to me, eliminates the Dolphins. But so Ryan Tannehill was with the Titans at the time. Had a great year statistically.
Okay.
And I could 100% see Tom Brady going to Mike Vrabel. You're going to stick with that mother bleeper? I never would have gone to that team anyway. They play in Nashville. I don't want to go to that hick town. Miami, he wanted to go to. I don't think that was... You're trying to get me to say that was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes!
No.
It's obviously Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He said I would never go to that team.
He's dying
to go to Miami still to this day. To this day, he wants to go to the Dolphins. As recently as 6 months ago.
Why didn't he go to the Dolphins then when he left the Patriots?
I don't know. Maybe you got me there.
Because that's who he's talking about.
Well, because they stopped showing interest in him. It doesn't mean he wasn't still interested in them.
Why did they stop showing interest in him? Because they're going to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's what
he's talking about. No, but you're missing the important piece to this, which is I never would have gone to that team anyway. Well, does that sound like the Dolphins now?
No, but that he's saying that in a self-deprecating way. You know what, Tyler? No. Let's do the headlines. We'll listen to it again.
You're wrong. It's Tannehill.
We're going to listen to it again on the other side.
I have accurately broken this down. You have not. Yeah, I'm trying to get you on board.
You're missing the nuance in what Brady is saying there. And for a nuanced guy, that surprises me. Well, listen to it.
I don't think you understand the definition of the word nuance.
that is quite possible. All right, well, let's do it again after the headlines. Hold on.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was a story in free agency. One of the teams, they were interested, and all of a sudden, they weren't interested at the very end. I was sitting there thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
Are you serious?
Tom probably had no desire to go to that team, but now it's like, why don't you want me?
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Sure. When I look back, I'm like, I just don't... Way I would have went to that team. But they said they didn't want me, and I know what that means. I know what that feels like, and I'm going to f*** you up because of that.
You're so wrong on this. He would not talk about his beloved Dolphins that way.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go F you up.
It's revisionist history in his mind. He is doing it like satirically, saying like F them. Like I would just say, like I said to Fowler today when he didn't like my hat, I first asked if there was a sniper in the building that could put a bullet behind my ear because I'd rather die than suffer through any more conversation about my yellow British Open hat, which has a nation divided.
That's graphic.
And then I believe I told Fowler, our producer here on the TV side, who is a great guy who I love, I believe I told him to go F himself or to go step in front of a bus. You know, I didn't mean it. Tom Brady is not literally saying F those guys. He's saying it. They're in a barber shop, Phil. They're in a barber shop. You know, you're just letting it fly.
You're riffing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's all.
Having fun with the boys.
You're taking it literally.
Well, that's all I have. All I have are the guy's words. You're reading into his words. I'm telling you what he's saying.
So you're not capable of understanding the nuance?
You still, again, with that word. I'm not sure that's how that works.
That word you keep using.
I would just say that sounds much more like something you would say to Mike Vrabel than his buddy, who he's been dying to join for now multiple years. And I think the Titans, because Ryan Tannehill played so well in 2019, they said, Tom, we're interested, but we're going to stick with Ryan here.
Okay.
And he said, what? Huh? And I don't think, here's another, in addition to my point, I'm not sure, even though he was being tampered with by the Dolphins, and even though he was interested, if you're Tom Brady, and you're looking at Miami and Tampa Bay, and you're trying to win right now because you want to prove it to everybody that you still can, you going to Miami in 2019? That's the worst team in football.
Oh, and because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had such a rich history of winning.
No. Okay, yes, because the history applies. 1 year, what did that roster look like? It has nothing to do with what the Bucs were in 1975.
You know something, dude? That you're one of these people who said, like, you know what?
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, really good pieces on defense.
Where were you then? Where were you when Tom Brady joined the Buccaneers? We said he was going to go win the Super Bowl because that
nobody
team
said
so
they were
going to awesome.
Win the Super Bowl. I would have 100% said that they had a 150% better chance of winning the Super Bowl than the Dolphins did.
I don't remember anybody saying that at the time. I really don't.
The Dolphins had talent. It was very obvious. Their quarterback stunk, and their history stunk, and I thought the coach stunk. I thought the coach would derail the whole thing.
This is what
you're still thinking about, like the creamsicle Bucks. Like if you swap in Tom Brady for Jameis Winston with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin,
loser franchise. It was a loser franchise.
What are the Dolphins?
Another loser franchise. So what?
What are the Cowboys?
Underperformers.
What are the history? What are the Bears? You know, what are the Giants?
No, just
the Giants are trash right now. It doesn't mean they're a losing franchise. The Dolphins were trash at the time.
Don't get away from who he was talking about here when he said "f those guys." You're going to go with him. Who do you say that about? Your good buddy Mike Vrabel. F those guys.
Oh, you
and
definitely
F
say that to Vrabel. Yes.
Well, you also say it to the team that has been tampering with you over the course of a year, and of course, and by your assessment, had you so distracted on the field, you didn't know whether your wristwatch was wound or not. You know, it's you say that about that team and that guy that they stuck with.
Listen, you're not going to be able to move me off this spot. I have now convinced myself that Brady and the Dolphins were tampering with each other with like a 2-year plan in mind. Hey guys, I'm going to go to Tampa Bay because I can win right now with them, but in a couple years, make sure you got that thing set up for me. That's now my working theory.
Okay, Milliken.
He doesn't care about Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Voice of reason, Tyler Milliken. You break the tie on this one. Was he talking about the Dolphins or was he talking about Tennessee?
I hate to say that, but I do agree with Perry. I think he was talking about Ryan Tannehill, just the way he kind of phrased it. And I think the continued discussion of Brady with the Miami Dolphins going from this year, all these years back, there's an interest. And for him to want to be part of ownership there, I think that speaks about that franchise and why he wanted to go in that direction.
I'm just starting to feel bad for you that you're not seeing it. Thank you, Milliken, by the way.
We're all blind.
But I don't even feel
already.
The need to thank him because it's so obvious.
I don't see it.
That's why I feel bad.
Let's go to the phones. 617-779-0985. Kevin in Foxborough. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. So I agree with Perry as well. Only because Brady was only going to Miami if Sean Payton went. I think something fell through with that dynamic, as opposed to the Titans just straight up picked Tannehill over Brady. So Brady was like, are you serious?
Yeah, 2-year plan. In a couple years, guys, make sure you get the right head coach in there. He probably wasn't thrilled they drafted Tua, just on the off chance that Tua was pretty good, because then that would block him. But Tua clearly isn't very good.
I think something fell through with the Sean Payton dynamic, and as opposed to Vrabel said, sorry, Brady, we're choosing Tannehill over you. And Brady is like, are you serious, that mother effer?
I agree. Great call.
I think
Kevin in Foxborough, smart guy.
I think you guys are just being stubborn now. I think you're refusing to see what's so plainly.
I just think you're so simple-minded. It's 1 + 1 = 2 for you. Well, he's been tampered with by the Dolphins, and therefore, who was the Dolphins' quarterback in 2019? It must be Ryan Fitzpatrick, whereas I am doing calculus over here to give you the correct answer.
And I'm just counting rocks and sticks.
Yes.
What do the 49ers factor into all this in your master plan for Tom Brady? Because, you know, there are a handful of, dare I say, good football minds who think that that team has always been in play and still in play.
I think he would have loved to go to the Dolphins, or sorry, to the Niners recently, whether it was in 19 or whether it was just earlier this year or 6 months ago, whenever this whole retirement, non-retirement thing happened. I think he would have loved to do that. They were committed. They were dumb, too. They're committed to Jimmy Garoppolo. because they thought they could make it work. And now they've traded away all their draft assets to get a guy at number three overall who they're not even sure can play. So that the quarterback, while Kyle Shanahan, I do believe he is a good offensive mind. He has botched that thing so thoroughly.
It's unbelievable.
From soup to nuts that it's almost unforgivable. As much love as you may have for the guy as a Niners fan, he got you to a Super Bowl. He helped turn Jimmy Garoppolo from an average Joe, which is I think what he is, to a Super Bowl almost winning quarterback, one throw away essentially. He has messed this thing up so many different times. I don't know if I'd be out on him because I would still want him around, but I would want some of the decision-making power pulled away. Because it feels like even though they have John Lynch as the GM there, yeah. It really is it's a two-headed monster there, and I think Shanahan is number one. He has screwed that up so aggressively. It's not even funny.
We should carve out some time, talk a little more Jimmy G later on. But yeah, thoughts on the Red Sox, Phil? I know you're a football guy, but you are diverse, and you're capable of having multiple conversations.
I've been, the entire time we've been talking here, I've been trying to read Alex Cora's lips to see what in the world he could have said yes. Last night to get him tossed, because okay. The body language is so fascinating to me.
Well, maybe he is like Tom Brady. He's lashing out at an umpire last night, because really it's more about the rift between him and the front office. We'll get into the Red Sox and all that with you next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over with a tire.
More headlines in 30
it's
minutes.
Like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's kind of been portrayed in the media over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, that there could be a rift between the front office and the clubhouse. Is anything like that happening in your eyes?
I don't see that. You know, obviously, I'm not going to hear everything, but, you know, I know that there is always an incentive when these things happen for them to be, you know, dramatized, and it's a good narrative to tell. What I will say, anytime you make a move like that, you know, the trade of Vasquez, there are going to be some questions in the clubhouse. There's going to be some emotions. People are going to be upset. You can't expect to make a move like that and not have that happen. You just have to be accountable for it, to be able to address it, to be able to explain what you're thinking. You know, that's really important. And I think then people can go forward. You know, in the moment, to assume that you're going to be able to take away those emotions, I think you'd be crazy to assume that you could. We didn't. You know, we knew that one would hurt. And so, you know, that emotion, I don't call that a rift. I just call it the emotions you would expect from doing something like that. And if I were in their shoes, honestly, in the moment, I'd have had the same reaction.
All right, so that tells me there's a rift. A rift, excuse me. And I think Chaim Bloom did a good job of answering the question. He didn't try and make you think everything was rosy, and he said, you know, he kind of downplayed a little bit. Anytime there's a move like this, you know, and a player that you like, a blah blah blah. But he did acknowledge, yeah, there's some feelings going on right now. Does it constitute a true rift between Cora and the front office right now, or is it just something that will blow over because it was based on this trade and nothing else?
What I didn't like was the start of his answer, which is, "Yeah, I know it's entertaining and the narrative is good."
Oh,
when you
shut
get
up with
when
that.
It's over dramatized. Stop it with that.
I know
that to me actually would be more indicative of the fact that there is a rift there. The fact that you have to protest too much, right? In that situation, unprompted, say, I know there's stuff out there, and they, you know, they have to do that to be able to sell papers or to get clicks, but that's not what's happening here. Yeah, people are upset. Sure, people are always upset when trades happen, but no. Rift? Here? No. No, we don't. Nah. Come on, Tom.
Yeah.
That to me is if I were just sitting there watching that in real time, I would say, okay, yep, that's what you would say if there was a rift.
Yeah, that part of it I think was kind of ridiculous to bring up, like, oh, the media inventing things. It's like, no, you traded that guy, and you also didn't send anyone to Houston to help facilitate the trade and maybe smooth things over. You know, you've got a whole office, you got a whole floor full of people sitting back at Fenway while this is going down. And yeah, that's a little messed up. And I don't think there's anything that Cora said or did in the aftermath that would lead you to believe that it was business as usual. I think there's some real issues going on.
In the aftermath or before, Hardy. I mean, Haim, have you heard your manager speak over the course of the last month or so, as, you know, the team has been in a tailspin at times? Have you heard your players over that duration of time? This isn't all about Christian Vasquez. There's stuff building before the deadline. This is a manager and a team that wanted to win now. You have players asking for help. We need a little bit. That's essentially the message that's coming from the clubhouse. So to look at the Vasquez thing and say, people are always going to be upset about that. No. No, actually, there are signs of discontent long before Vasquez gets traded. And then Vasquez gets traded, thereby confirming everything that was thought in the clubhouse before, or was feared maybe in the clubhouse before the trade deadline, which is, we're not going to get enough. Not only did we probably not get enough, I know they got Hosmer, that fills a need at first base. Good for them, it's cheap. But you traded your starting catcher that the pitchers seem to like, seems to be beloved in the clubhouse. Stuff which matters, by the way. These guys are human beings. It's a long season.
Yep.
That matters. Doesn't show up on the spreadsheet. Doesn't show up on the laptop. Doesn't show up with Carmine. But it does matter, and now you're acting like this is the one piece of evidence that we have that might suggest that there's an issue between the guys on the field and the guys in the front office, when that's just not the case. And so I would look at it and say, players are pissed. They should be pissed. If I'm Cora, I'm pissed. And I don't know how it gets resolved, because now you're done. Now you can't add. You're still telling us, and I'm sure you're telling them, that we're going for it, but your actions say something completely different.
Well, your actions are kind of in opposition to each other. When you trade away your starting catcher, but then you add in other places, it was a weird trade deadline for the
Which
Red
is by
Sox.
Design, I think, right? Did they try to just muddy the waters a little bit so that they couldn't be said about them that they were sellers point blank, because they added Eric Hosmer and they added a couple of these other guys, Tommy Pham.
I think that's part of it. And by the way, Milliken, we didn't get a chance to talk about this really yesterday because we were like all football, but Jackie Bradley Jr. being designated, I mean, I don't want to take any kind of victory lap on it. I'm not asking this to be a jerk about it, but, you know, isn't this the conversation that we said kind of like early on? I know you love his defense and all that, but so what? The guy can't hit. He can't produce. I mean, A, what took so long, and B, did you second guess at any point the decision to bring him back in the first place?
I don't think
there was a problem
with the move itself. It's what followed that move. So, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. coming back, yes, they were hoping for a bounce back. It wasn't about him. It was Alex Benellis and David Hamilton. Two prospects. Hamilton, he's stolen 50 bags in the minors, but best case, he's going to be a utility guy. Benellis, he hit well at high A, got up to double A, and he's kind of hit a wall since he got there. The issue is what you did afterwards to address that problem. And you went and got Trevor Story, which is great. He helped you defensively. He hasn't matched Hunter Renfro's bat at all this year. He's been a below league average hitter. Hunter Renfro's gone out and hit well above average while playing some of the best defense of his entire career. And I think where things really take a turn here, and where players have a right to really be frustrated, is the luxury tax. If you didn't trade Hunter Renfro, you don't go over the luxury tax this year. Ultimately, you did go over the luxury tax. You got pushed into signing Trevor Story at the end of spring training because you panicked and didn't know what to do. And now you just went to a trade deadline where, in my opinion, buy-sell was the right strategy. I thought 2014 was going to be the right idea, and I think they got marginally better here. But you stayed over the luxury tax in a year where we know if you go over the luxury tax in baseball, it's about a two-year system. The Yankees last year got underneath. There's a reason they're pushing all the chips in this year. You go back to the Dodgers and the Mookie Betts situation. Why did they go get Mookie Betts? They believed it was time to push over the luxury tax and try to win back-to-back years and go all the way in. Fortunately, in 2020, David Price opted out for them, so they were able to stay under. Now we see last year and this year, they've completely pushed way beyond it. Well, the Red Sox stayed beyond it, and that means this was an all-in year for you, especially for a lot of guys who this could be their last run. You know, Chaim Bloom, you've created problems with Xander Bogaerts here. Who knows if this will be his last shot in a Red Sox uniform? J.D. Martinez, Nate Eovaldi, like, you can explain with Christian Vasquez, oh, you weren't going to give that guy a qualifying offer. You didn't think he was going to be worth $18 to $19 million. We know they tried to trade him, whether it was in 2020 to the Mets for Mark Vientos, this past offseason for Jacob Stallings at times. You know, there's been those conversations. You can get a qualifying offer for those other picks, but in a year where you're supposed to go all in, I was fine moving off of Vasquez, but you should have went and got other pieces if you were going to stay over the luxury tax. Now you're a middling team who's wasted a competitive year. And if I'm those Red Sox players sitting there, I'm questioning, like, what are you doing? Because there is no direction for them.
And I think part of the move, like, I think what Tyler's talking about, where the roster building issue has been such an issue, I think that relates to Jackie Bradley Jr. too. Bradley Jr. never should have been brought here to be a starting outfielder. John Tomasi made this point on NBCSportsBoston.com. Is he a great player? No, of course not. He plays great defense. That's about it. But he also shouldn't have been put in the position he was put in by this front office to then fall on his face to the point where he eventually got DFA'd.
Well, Tyler just gave a four-minute answer to the question. Let me rephrase it, Tyler. Are you finally ready to admit that Jackie Bradley Jr. sucks?
Yeah. I'm not going to act like I was ever the biggest Jackie Bradley Jr. fan in the world, but I did believe he'd bounce back more. But where the real problem for me is, and that's where I kind of agree with Perry, you had Christian Arroyo platooning with him. Obviously, Kike Hernandez went down, and that complicated it. But the fact that you were talking to AJ Pollock before the season, you knew you had a hole there. You knew you had a problem. In a year where you went over the luxury tax, there's no excuse to have holes like that in the roster. And the Red Sox had multiple holes. And that's just poor team building and not planning to compete in your two-year window when you've already pushed over.
We're late here, and it's Tyler's fault, so I can't get in trouble for this one. But thank you, Tyler. Good stuff. We're gonna do the headlines here for 90 seconds. We're going to talk about something Red Sox-related that's a lot more fun. What did Alex Cora do to get ejected last night? And the reason for the ejection, it's fascinating, that home run last night. So we'll talk about that next here in 90 seconds. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.